This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante fired up. Austin Birkeland by my side. How are you, buddy?
Good. You get 4 hours of radio of me on it in 2020 today.
That's so right. See, I didn't know you guys were starting your show back today, but you did.
Yeah, it was a fun show. We also had Derek Piper on, so Piper is going to be joining both shows, which he should because this is his show,
amen,
of course. And we talked a little bit about the Illini Bowl game this morning, too. So I'm excited to get Alex Rue, though. We're having him on at 5:30 to talk about his bowl experiences at the Red Box and the Fiesta Bowls.
So he went to two different bowls.
Yes.
Who played the Fiesta?
Was that Georgia? Was that Clemson and Ohio State?
Oh, that was the Clemson-Ohio State. I think that is correct. So that's awesome. That'll be fun to talk to Alex. We'll do that at 5:30. We've got Mettler mix-up with Doctor of Physical Therapy, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Matthew Gordon. You want to hear today because Cassius Winston, suffering from a bone bruise, he actually sat out the last game for Michigan State, the last non-conference game, but he is expected to play tonight. So we'll ask Matthew, like, how does he go about getting better from a bone bruise? And really, what should Illinois players do to re-injure it? That's what I want to ask. Oh, wait, no, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. Well, maybe. All right, Derek Piper is going to join us at 5:05, but he'll be better on our show than yours because he'll be in East Lansing.
Yes.
So he'll have the feel of East Lansing.
Right. I wish it was kind of football season. I wish we could hear, like, the golf carts, you know,
on,
but
beep,
no.
Beep.
You might hear some basketballs dribbling.
That's fine because he'll probably be in Breslin.
Yes.
So Pipes will join us from Breslin getting ready for the 7 o'clock Illinois-Michigan State basketball game tonight. We'll tell you all about Michigan State, but we're going to go to the expert at 4:15. Graham Couch from the Lansing State Journal is going to join us at 4:15. He's the man when it comes to Michigan State, so we'll ask him about the Spartans here in about 5 or 6 or so minutes. We'll talk more about Illinois and Michigan State and this game tonight. You guys, you know, we worked New Year's Eve, Derek and I did, so we kind of got our 2 hours of bowl talk out with Illinois and Cal.
Oh, but really?
Yeah, we decided to take Monday off so we could watch the game and then just have kind of a post-game show, if you will, on New Year's Eve. So we kind of got that out of the way, but what did you think? I mean, Illinois, the defense kind of gave up a lot of points, a lot of yards.
What I really liked about this Cal-Illinois game in terms of Illinois' perspective, there wasn't a lot, but I think Brandon Peters asserting himself as the leader of the football team
was
the thing that really stuck out to me. It might have been a losing experience for Illinois, but at least Illinois knows who its leader is next year. I know Isaiah Williams got in there on a few plays in different gadgets, whether that be in the running back slot, whether that's coming out of the backfield to make a catch. But I think Brandon Peters asserted himself as the unquestioned starting quarterback next year, and I think that Isaiah Williams is just going to have to wait till his redshirt sophomore year.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. Illinois fans are accustomed to this freshman must play. He's a five-star. He's going to transfer. No, he's not. You still have Corey Patterson here. You still have his buddy and Shamon Cooper here. I think that Illinois fans are overstating the nervousness of Isaiah Williams not being your starting quarterback next year. I think Brandon Peters was awesome this season. 18 touchdowns to 8 interceptions this year. I think he is just the unquestioned quarterback that Illinois fans have been dreaming of for so, so long. He is Wes Lunt and Riley O'Toole rolled up into one, and it makes for a wonderful experience, and just need to get the wide receivers around him in the transfer market.
Yeah, I agree, and none of those wide receivers or a lot of the starters were not there, of course, for the Red Box Bowl. So we'll talk more on that. It is interesting, though, when you say that. I mean, it is the era of the transfer portal, so you can understand why people are nervous. I know 24/7 Sports. They have a link you can go to, and just every day there's added three or four more guys.
They have like crystal balls for transfer portals.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes,
it's crazy. That's how it is, though. All right, but we go back to basketball. Illinois and Michigan State. The Illini looking to snap a 15-game losing streak against top 25 opponents in true road games. Now, this is true road games because, they beat Maryland last year at Madison Square Garden. Right. I think Maryland was ranked at the time. So in true road games, Illinois has lost 15 straight against top 25 opponents. This won't be easy tonight. Illinois, though, has always played well against Michigan State. They're 7-7 in the last 14 games. So it's one of those where it's like, why are we able to handle Michigan State and we can't beat, you know, Iowa?
Right.
Or,
I mean,
or Rutgers.
Michigan
or Penn
State has all these athletes that you think, oh, they're just going to turn it on. But Illinois just has that certain factor about it. And it's kind of like Northwestern football against Illinois football,
true,
where Northwestern might not have the talent, but Illinois is always going to have a struggle against them.
Derek Piper wrote a great article. I'm stealing from Derek a little bit. He allowed me to do this one day, so I just steal like stats from him.
Take an inch, give you an inch,
yeah,
and take a mile.
I'm totally going a mile right now because I got a lot of stuff highlighted. Under Brad Underwood, by the way, the Illini 2-17 in Big Ten road games in his tenure, and he's 12-28 overall during Big Ten play. We hope that inches closer to 500 after this year for sure. We need to win some games. One interesting thing, Illinois, if they would win tonight, they would join college basketball's 1,800 win club. There's 18 programs that have reached that D1 level. In fact, this year alone, Texas, Washington, and Western Kentucky have reached that milestone of 1,800 wins. So, again, thanks to Derek Piper and Illini Inquirer, I stole that stat. So kind of a cool thing, whether they can get that tonight or maybe Sunday against Purdue.
Are you nervous about this game?
I'm not nervous because I don't think they'll win.
Right, me neither. I said an 8-point loss on the show. Jeremy thinks they're going to win.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, they've always played well against Michigan State for some reason.
I just don't see it after what I saw against Missouri.
Totally agree. I mean, if the intensity level is anywhere close to what it was against Missouri, then you're not even going to be in this game.
Correct.
You won't even be in this game. And in fact, what was it about the last two times that they've played? All right, Illinois lost their last two trips to the Breslin Center by at least 20 points. So that's not good.
No.
So we'll see what happens there. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Graham Couch, he covers the Spartans for the Lansing State Journal. We'll ask him what he thinks of Michigan State at this point. We'll do it next. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
My old washer and dryer were on their last legs, and I really wanted a front loader set. So I went shopping. I thought that the big box lumberyard would have the best deals, so I started there. They had an Electrolux set I really liked, and I thought it was a fair price, but I wanted to compare it with one other store. Dick Van Dyke advertises the best deal, so I tried there. Boy, am I glad I did. They had the same washer and dryer, but their deal came with a buy one, get one free pedestal and a free 10-year protection plan. The other store would sell me a warranty, but for only 5 years. It was a no-brainer. I bought my beautiful new washer and dryer at Dick Van Dyke, saved $370, and got 10 years of protection. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reakin, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This could be your true story in Champaign-Urbana during January. I guarantee the best deal on your next appliance purchase. Wow!
When you buy from us, you get the whole story.
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but you thought it'd be too hard or take too much time? Then go to Babbel.com, download the app, and try it for free. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. And right now, you can try Babbel for free. Babbel starts out teaching you words and phrases by matching them with pictures. You won't believe how easy the interactive program is. Soon the sentences get a little bigger, and before you know it, you're having simulated conversations voiced by native speakers. And because Babbel is crafted by language experts and uses the spaced repetition method, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking the language of your choice with real confidence. With Babbel, you can speak a language. Just go to Babbel.com and start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com and try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
Why do so many go to Honda BMW of Champaign? Is it the selection of hundreds of new and pre-owned vehicles? The easy location off Neal at Burwash Savoy? Or the fact that they're an award-winning dealership getting incredible reviews year after year from their customers? Yes, it's all of the above. Before you buy your next vehicle, give Honda BMW of Champaign a chance to earn your business. Honda BMW off Neal at Burwash Savoy, or go online, drivechampaign.com.
Hey Cardinals Nation, the Cardinals Caravan presented by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance is coming your way. It's your chance to get up close and personal with your favorite team. Get the latest scoop on the upcoming season from current players, Cardinals alumni, and broadcasters. Plus, there will be raffle prizes and autographs for the kids. Jump on the Cardinals Caravan. The Cardinals Caravan, rolling into Champaign on Friday, January 17th. For more information, visit cardinals.com/caravan.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, it is the drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, Derek Piper. Piper is not here. He's in East Lansing, Michigan, or at least getting close. To cover Illinois and Michigan State tonight, we will visit with Pipes about 5:05. You heard about the Cardinals Caravan. Again, it's January 17th at noon at the I Hotel. Kids 15 and under can get an autograph item, and folks can get in on all the raffles while supporting Illiniland FCA. It's a free event for Cardinals fans. You come out, you meet the players, alumni, broadcasters. There's a short program. And then the staff from the station conducts a question and answer session at the I Hotel. It's really fun. Again, January 17th, it is free of charge. Just come out to the I Hotel, wear your Cardinals gear. Or if you're a closet Cardinal fan like Austin, who claims to be a Cubs fan, I'm sure you probably sneak in the back in a disguise.
Yes. I'm the guy in the top hat and the big overcoat, being like, and then this is my big guess.
Trying to hex people.
I think Tyler O'Neill is going to be the big guy.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be my guess. It's the big time.
I get the pun
guess.
With the big.
Yes.
You know, his dad was Mr. Canada. He's ripped and shredded all over. So, Tyler O'Neill, okay, I like that.
Yeah, I know it's kind of out there, but that's who my big guess is on.
That'd
who the big
cool.
guess is.
Well, we'll talk more about the Cardinals Caravan as that nears for sure. But right now our focus is Illinois and Michigan State, and we welcome in Graham Crouch. Graham, how are you, buddy?
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, Graham, you know, it was one of those deals when Jeremy and I, when our show broke up, I lost you in the divorce. So it's nice to finally talk to you again.
I heard about those negotiations. They were pretty contentious. So
they were. It was bad. It was bad. I lost you and Ira Weintraub. I lost all the Michigan connections. I'm like, this isn't fair. All right, getting right to it, Graham. By the way, I follow you on Twitter because I love reading all your stuff about Michigan State and just college basketball in general and college football. You always have some great takes on that. Michigan State right now, 2-0 in the Big Ten. What do you think of this team as you sit here going into tonight, kind of starting the nuts and bolts, if you will, of the Big Ten? What do you feel about this team?
Well, I think it's a team with tremendous upside, maybe as much upside as anybody in the Big Ten, probably still so, but with a lot of parts that are still figuring themselves out, and with a team that's still figuring itself out. And it's been a weird couple months, in part because of what happened with Cassius Winston's brother, and then and what that's been, I think, for this team, and sort of changed who they are and leadership dynamics and how that all worked for a while. And then just because you've got a lot of young pieces in new roles still trying to figure it out, and you know, there's a lot of upside, there's a lot of talent. I would still say they're a team that has a chance to get to a Final Four if it all comes together, but it might not. And they're absolutely vulnerable on any given night, and especially against a team with as many just pound-for-pound tough matchup as Illinois.
With Cassius Winston's injury set out last game, how big of an impact do you think that bone bruise is going to be on tonight's game against Illinois?
Well, if it's any impact, Michigan State's in trouble. Like, I mean, they got by without him because Western Michigan wasn't very good and played a really dumb style of play. And but, you know, if they have to rely on beating a Big Ten team completely without him, I just don't think they can do it. At least not Illinois and the type of athletes they have in the backcourt. So, yeah, I think he's healthy. I think it was a precaution,
right,
what we were sort of told, based on, you know, but if he's limited or he can't play 35 minutes or any of that stuff, then Michigan State's in trouble.
If you file it away in one of the weirdest stories that always come across every season, it does seem very strange that Illinois kind of has Cassius Winston's number, if you will. And I'm guessing that if there's one team in the back of his mind, though he wouldn't say it, he's probably like, all right, this year I'm going to school them because I'm tired of them getting the best of me. I mean, you probably remember the last couple of games. He's had 8-9 turnovers. How has that happened? And is that such just the outlier for sure?
Well, it sounds like Illinois has changed the way they play defense a little bit. And part of that was the style they were playing previously. And I know you guys would know better than I how much more pack line and how different it is than what they were playing before. But one of the things they did before is they really, Illinois made you uncomfortable. They made it hard to run your sets and hard to run your plays and just your ball screens. Everything Michigan State did ran through him. And they, you know, didn't have a whole lot of guys to create on their own otherwise. And they have a little more of that now. So I think this is a team that's built a little more to counter that. They've got a freshman named Rocket Watts coming off his own injury, who's sort of a mess when he's trying to run set offenses still. But he just is a pure talent and somebody who can, you know, you give him a seam, he can get to the hole, he can make plays for people. That's what you kind of need to beat the old guard of Illinois. But, yeah, it is a weird thing. And Illinois has been pretty good at keeping Michigan State out of transition and disrupting everything Cassius Winston does, and they've done it as well as anybody. And the thing that made Michigan State so good in previous years, especially last year, is how connected they were.
Hmm.
And if you could sort of disconnect them with your defense, and a few teams did it, not just Illinois. Texas Tech did it in the Final Four as well as anybody. Bradley did it in the first round of the NCAA tournament and just didn't have the talent to finish the job. But you know, if you could disconnect them, you could cause problems. If you could take away his passing lanes and get them out of what they wanted to do, just not that many teams did it.
Great point. Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal. Follow him on Twitter. It's at @Graham_Couch. He's not playing, obviously, Langford. But do you guys play the what-if game up there in East Lansing the last couple of years without Langford and what he could add to this team?
Yes and no. Not last year, because the funny thing is they were more efficient without him. Last year was a weird team, right?
Yeah.
You talk about two guys who were part of the same recruiting class who were 15-point scorers, and Nick Ward and Joshua Langford, and they wound up being better without both of them.
Huh.
And that was a weird – that doesn't usually happen. And the only way it happened is if you have sort of the perfect chemistry – and dynamic without him. And Xavier Tillman, you know, is playing the five and the way he can defend ball screens and that quickness. And, you know, Matt McQuaid is a versatile wing and two. And it worked last year. They had the parts to sort of counter what those two guys were. What those two guys are, and that's what they missed this year, is bucket getters. And, you know, there's always been an argument with Langford that if you just look at the efficiency numbers, he takes possessions away from Cassius Winston, and Cassius Winston's like the most efficient player in college basketball, so that's not good, you know, and that sort of thing.
But right.
I thought it would hurt them early, but not as much late, and I've sort of changed my mind on that. I think it hurts them a ton overall, because I thought early, you know, against Kentucky, you're going to need him, but once they found their rhythm and guys like Rocket Watts were comfortable, they'd be okay. But they've really needed a wingman for Cassius and a bucket getter and a veteran leader. And so this year, more than last, it's made a huge difference. And I think for them this year, it's not just him, it's Joey Hauser, the transfer from Marquette, who was not, he lost his waiver appeal. And if they had those two guys and you had a lineup with Cassius Winston, Joshua Langford, Aaron Henry, Joey Hauser, Xavier Tillman, I mean, the coach has said it bluntly. They're not sure they would have lost the game. And, you know, but that's the hard thing, right? Things don't always come together perfectly like that in college basketball.
You look at tonight's big man matchup, Xavier Tillman versus Kofi Coburn. It kind of reminds you of a heavyweight boxing match, both averaging around 9.8 rebounds per game and double-digit scoring. Who do you think has the advantage tonight, Kofi or Tillman?
Well, they're very different players, right? I mean, and the thing is, size-wise, they're Tillman's only 6'8", you know, he's 240, and so he's not anywhere near as big, but he's much more seasoned. He's a much better defender laterally and things like that. But you can't teach what, 7 foot, 280, 290, whatever right. Kofi is. And so if either one of those guys get in foul trouble, it's a big deal, especially for Michigan State. With the drop-off for MSU once Tillman is not in the game is just enormous. It's just the plus, minus, and all that. And so they need to keep him out of foul trouble. I'll be very curious to see how that goes, how those two attack each other. The big thing for Michigan State has been that guards have gone off on them, and they've had a number of guards at Seton Hall, at Kentucky, not so much Duke. Duke was a big man as well, but Georgia, Anthony Edwards, went for 33 in the second half. They, wow. You know, this is the sort of game where, you know, if AO was going to make some hay, this is the game to do it. Michigan State has been susceptible to sort of an electric guard performance that's carried the other team.
Yeah, and he did it last year. I know a big game from Dosunmu last year in a win against Michigan State. The Spartans, they rank number 2 in the country in offensive efficiency. You know, it's been, I mean, I go back to my heyday, being 49. I can roll back to the, seems like the 20s and 30s when they would get the ball. They'd make one quick pass, and they were across the half-court line and ready to go on an offense. I mean, that's just what Izzo loves to do. They're scoring about 82 a game, which tops in the Big Ten. Is that what Illinois fans can expect tonight, to see a team that wants to just get out and get that transition going, right?
That's what they want. They want you to. They want to run. They always do that. They're, if you can get them in a half court game, they're just much less efficient, especially now. And Western Michigan played one of the dumbest games I've ever seen the other night against them, and you know, got up early making some shots, and then Michigan State went on a 25-0 run over wow. 8 minutes just because Western Michigan dared them into a track meet and stopped hitting shots and. But Illinois is truly getting back right now, and Illinois is a weird team. I can't figure them out at all. I really love this roster. Picked them to finish second in the Big Ten, and then I watched them play Missouri. And I watched the first half of Miami, and there are just moments you're like, what the hell is this? And, but if they can get, I think against Michigan State, if you can stop transition, then you can really get into a fight with them and have a chance. And that's really, really the key.
Going to the bigger of the Big Ten, how do you see this Big Ten stacking up? Like, how many elite teams do you think there truly are in this Big Ten? Or is it really only Michigan State and Ohio State potentially?
I think it's the best league in the country. I don't know exactly how deep in terms of, like, what that means. You know, like, is it the best league in the country with, How many teams are Final Four teams? Is if Michigan's your number 3 team, I don't know that they are. Maryland talent wise should be it, but they always have the Mark Turgeon factor,
right?
And that's
right.
Just the debilitating. It's like having an ankle injury all year. So I don't really know how you overcome that. And I would say there are 2 teams that I look at right now and go, those are teams that could be in the final weekend. But there are, you know, Penn State has had a really good start and been much more efficient. Lamar right. Stevens has been really good. And so there are, there might be 8 NCAA tournament teams in this league, and there's just no nights off, very few. I mean, Northwestern, Nebraska, but even Nebraska got Purdue. And maybe for the top few teams, there are a couple nights off, so to speak, on the road. But, you know, the league is gonna just beat itself up, and I think its reputation is good enough to withstand that. But I wouldn't be surprised if you got 7 or 8 in, and you know the champion had 5 losses.
There's no doubt. Graham Couch, last one for you, buddy. Football, Michigan State. I know Illinois, it's one of their big wins of the year. They came from behind in East Lansing and got a win there, and of course they lose their bowl game. Michigan State wins theirs. What are you thinking right now with that program? Kind of where that, you know, Illinois fans feel like next year a lot of experience coming back. Hopefully that'll be kind of the year. Lovey said that's kind of the year we've been shooting for is next year. And then I worry about then what happens, right? Have you reached the top point, and then where do you go? Where do you feel like that Michigan State football program is right now?
It's really at a crossroads because I think there are going to be some coaching changes made in the next week. Just on the staff, I think D'Antonio was planning on this being his last year that they just completed. And he just misjudged what he had. If you talked to him in August, July, he really thought he had a squad. And they had the team that went 10-3 2 years ago had not only 21 starters coming back, 14 of those kids 2 years ago had 2 years of eligibility left. So you kind of saw it as this two-year group, and it just never materialized. And D'Antonio misjudged what he had. I think he thought he was going to have at least a contender, a really good season, great defense. And I think he hoped privately that, like, Harlan Barnett, who was the defensive coordinator at Florida State, who had left a couple years ago, things would go better there, and maybe he'd be able to leave it to Barnett. You know, he had, I think, plans this was going to be it. And now he's sticking around. And, look, if he's going to stick around, he needs to do it for 3-4 more years, because this is not like the next year is going to be great for them. They've got some weapons on offense that are young and I think people are kind of excited about, but they don't know if they have a quarterback. The defense is going to get younger. But it's, you know, there's a lot of trepidation. There's a lot of people have lost their faith in somebody that, you know, 4 years ago had them in the playoff and winning 2 out of 3 Big Ten titles. And, I mean, that's a strange place for D'Antonio to be. But he kind of did this to himself a year ago when he said, you know, he just reshuffled his staff and said, you know, I know the way, and put a lot of his goodwill on the line and lost it. And so that's just what it is. You don't get to be – it's not your program. You don't own it. You get to be the caretaker. And very few coaches – truly leave on top. And I think he's got to roll up his sleeves and decide he really wants to do this and bring in some guys to help him recruit and change some staff offensively. And he's willing to do that and wants to do 3-4 yeah. more years. Nobody knows what it takes to win at Michigan State more than he does.
Right.
But the recruiting's fallen off. The offense has been pretty putrid. The offensive line has been bad for 4 straight years. And, meanwhile, Michigan's been more interesting. Ohio State's playing at record levels, and people are just kind of fed up with it.
Yeah. Oh, Graham, I shouldn't do this because I said last one, but I thought when you were talking about that, Jim Harbaugh loses again in the bowl game, excuse me. Where is that at? I know you cover Michigan State, but I know you keep your eye, obviously, on Michigan. Where is that? I mean, I know he's not going anywhere, but how is that? How are the rumblings in Michigan about Harbaugh?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some disappointment. There's some people who, I mean, I think it's more frustration. They don't know if they can do any better. He's the guy they looked as one of their own. I mean, if you look at his seasons next to Bo Schembechler, they're not that different.
Right.
I mean, people just love Bo. It was a different era. Back then, the Rose Bowl was everything, and the, you know, it wasn't so much, you know, it was really the big 2 little 8 back then.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it was just different. And so, but he's done a nice job. They're just leaps and bounds behind the program that they measure themselves against. So nobody's happy. And I don't know how quickly that can be corrected or how long he wants to stay. And I just don't know that people think that, I mean, what do you get better than him? How do you know you're going to be able to do it?
Yep.
So
I totally agree.
I think that's a hard place to be. And the other problem is Michigan State's in the same boat in this sense. Neither program can find is satisfaction without a high level. So Michigan has Ohio State, and anything else is a season that just feels like it didn't quite get there. Hasn't been to a Big Ten title games ever. Never hasn't won a Big Ten championship since 2004. Michigan State, by winning the way they did for a few years and beating Michigan the way they did and neutralizing Ohio State the way they did, now that becomes a standard that it's very hard to live up to, and anything else feels disappointing. And so what you basically have is just 2 joyless fan base.
Wow. That's a great way to put that, Grant. We just want 8 down here. Give me 8 wins in Illinois.
No, it's true, though. I'm telling you right now, the year after Michigan State went 3-9, people could enjoy the little wins when they had that 10-3 year. They could enjoy the small victories. People around here can't enjoy the small victories, and that's just a crappy way to live.
That is too bad. There's no doubt about it. Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal. He'll be tweeting from the game, I'm sure, tonight, at @Graham_Couch. Always appreciate the visit, my friend. Thank you so much, Graham.
Enjoyed it. Great chat with you again. Take care.
All right, buddy. Graham Couch, she covers Michigan State up in East Lansing. I know we got one text that Graham is a Twitter follower. It would appear as though you enjoy razzing Illinois fans. True or false?
I mean, he picks Illinois to finish second in the Big Ten in basketball. So
he's one of those guys that will – you'll see a lot of – on Twitter, you'll see a lot of people – like for instance, if I had to describe myself, you always laugh – because I can diffuse any situation in a heartbeat.
Yes.
If it gets to be a little bit if it's awkward for me, or if it gets to be personal, I just diffuse it with something stupid.
A guy could say that he literally hates you, Lon, and you would be like, all right, do you want a beer? And then he'd be like, all right, you know what? You're not bad.
Yeah. I mean, unless I'm buying Rosati's and a case of Bud Light, and then all of a sudden he'll be like, all right, you're back in my good graces again. But Graham is a guy that, listen, he enjoys his job. I think he is one that has opinions. And I think for a lot of times, you know, I know there's just been a couple of situations where it's fallen to Illinois and Michigan State, and he's kind of come back on fans and stuff. So, and I don't always agree with what I see from Graham. There are times where I'm like, I don't know about that. But, I mean, that's just his opinion, and that's the way it works. But I love having him on.
He reminds me of, like, the Michigan State Breitweiser.
Yeah.
Because Breitweiser had some very original opinions on Illinois sports. And I don't think a lot of Illini fans agreed with him, but there's a lot of them that did as well. And I think Graham looks that way on the whole national college basketball and football landscape.
Yep.
And again, there's things I agree with, there's things I disagree, but what I love is a genuine opinion, and that's what you get with Graham.
I think that's great with what he said at the end there. You have two fan bases that are just joyless. And when you think about it, I've never really thought of that. But take Michigan and Jim Harbaugh and that crew, that he's right. If they could be whatever and one, and if they lose to Ohio State, don't play in the Big Ten championship game, and then go again to an Outback Bowl or whatever, and don't make the college football playoff, then to a lot of Michigan fans, they're not going to look at the, they'll look at the season and understand what they did. They'll be happy with 11-1. But in the flip side, they'll be like, they can't beat Ohio State, blah, 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 you know, and it'll be like a frustration. And I get it. I totally get that. And then Michigan State, like he said, you know, they had those, not just one, like Illinois has been, you know, they're kind of the perfect example of a team that just every once in a while out of the blue, 2001, 2007, you know, just bam, hey, we're in the Rose Bowl. And then the next year, we're flat on our face.
Well, I mean, Illinois has been in a Rose Bowl more recently than Michigan.
Yeah, right. I never thought of that. So, I mean, so Illinois fans, we're kind of accustomed to the every once in a while. And who knows? Maybe next year's it. Maybe next year's it. If everything falls into place, I know there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. But if everything fell into place, you could be this year's Minnesota. That goes out and wins 11 games.
Go to an Outback Bowl.
Yeah, go to an Outback. I said, we were sitting there on New Year's Day watching. I was with about 15 people watching games. And I said, you know what I want next year from Illinois is to sit here and watch Illinois on New Year's Day. I want to watch the Outback Bowl. I want to watch one of those games and watch Illinois against an SEC school on New Year's Day. That to me, now look, I'd love to be in another Rose Bowl. I've been lucky enough to live through a few. But I'd love to be in another. I would love to play in the college football playoff. I'd love to play in the Big Ten championship game. But more than anything, I'm realistic to the point of I want to see Illinois in one of these New Year's Day bowls maybe once every 3 years, let's say.
Yeah.
And then give me a 6-6 year 1 year. I mean, obviously I want to win every year, but if I'm 6-6 and in the quick lane 1 year, the next year I'm sneaking up into the Pinstripe Bowl. The third year I'm in the Outback Bowl. The fourth year maybe a missable.
I mean, that's a perfectly reasonable outlook on college football nowadays because Jay Layman's always talked about this in the Big Ten of the Big Two, Little Eight, Michigan and Ohio State and everybody else.
Yeah.
In college football nowadays, we are in the Big Five, the little 118 or that's however so many true. Left, because you have Oklahoma, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama.
Yep.
And those five teams are going to be competing for the college football playoff year after year after year.
It's true.
And you just got to fill in wherever you can. We've seen these traditional powerhouses want the grass is always greener on the other side kind of thing. Michigan has struggled with them not being good enough. You look at teams like USC, Miami, even to a lesser extent Georgia, because they've had some success. They can't get over that hump of trying to make that national championship. So I think we are now in that Big Five and little 118 right now, and everyone's just trying to fill in where they can in the rest of the pyramid of success. And it's tough for these traditional powers to deal with. Michigan fans have dealt with this before. I read a great article after the rivalry game, and they said that Ohio State doesn't look at Michigan as a rival anymore.
Mm.
Their rival right now is Clemson, LSU, Oklahoma, and Alabama.
I get the point of that, but I disagree. But I get the point. Yeah. I understand what they're saying. In other words, it's almost like, well, Michigan's on the schedule. We're going to win that game.
Yeah.
Can we beat Alabama? Can we beat Clemson? But in terms of a true rivalry, which I know you know that. I mean, they hate each other.
Yes. I'm just saying,
but
like,
I see what
in
you're
the
saying.
Fact that Ohio State knows they're going to win that game, and it's not even going to be close.
I think that's the one thing that's concerning to me, and then we're going to catch a break and get back to Illinois and Michigan State basketball. The one thing that does concern me as a sports fan, and this can only concern me. It doesn't have to bother anybody else. And that's why we all have our own opinions. That's why some of us love hockey. Some of us love wrestling. Some of us love college football. Some of us would rather watch the NFL.
Some of us like piloting.
Yeah, boom. Some of us come in looking like a bum after a night. Oh, no, I'm not even going to go there.
I don't even think he hears
us. Oz doesn't even hear us. But the point is, the concerning thing for me is I've always kind of understood what the Alabama is, you know, in the last, let's say, 5-6 years. I don't even hardly watch the college football playoffs.
I love watching it.
And that's great.
It's it's the best games.
We got two guys on sports radio, and one loves it. Now, I did watch both. Well, the Oklahoma game was over in about a minute.
It was more Saturday Night Live with Joe Burrow.
I mean, I watched that game because of Joe Burrow. Which was cool. This has probably been the first year in about three that I've had interest in these games because I didn't quite know how good Ohio State was, and Clemson didn't play anybody all year, so I'm like, are they that good? I'm the one that said it. Ohio State would beat them by two touchdowns, I said, and of course Clemson wins the game. But what's concerning to me is how Ohio State has now not leapfrogged. They've always been up there. But how far now they've separated themselves in the Big Ten from anybody else.
I mean, is it crazy to say that Penn State has leapfrogged Michigan?
Possibly. But yet they're not even close to Ohio State.
Right.
So, you know, I look at this.
Even with Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley, they couldn't make the national championship.
So Ohio State, I think, comes to Memorial Stadium next year. Is that right? Or do we go there?
Well, we play them, I know.
Okay, either way. With an experienced Illinois team, a veteran team that I think can win eight games, there is not one ounce of me, not one little piece of skin in my body that thinks Illinois is going to beat Ohio State next year.
No, because
it's not even close.
Illinois doesn't have a Rondell Moore, which is a game breaker like Purdue had.
And I even grew up in an era where I grew up watching Illinois beat John Cooper. You know, John Makovic owned John Cooper. I mean, Illinois was beating Ohio State as equally as Ohio State was beating you, kind of like Illinois and Michigan State right now in basketball. But there is not one ounce of me that even with Chase Young gone, there's not one part of me that thinks Illinois can stay within two touchdowns or three of Ohio State next year. And that's too bad.
And that's the difference between playing Michigan and Ohio State. Because Michigan, you thought you actually had a chance
to win
that game.
And there's no doubt.
Ohio State, you just know. Like, if it'd be the same thing if Alabama was on Illinois' schedule for non-con next year.
It was almost like that first half of the Michigan game, you sat there and you thought, oh, well, we're supposed to get beat. Because Michigan has always beat us, and they have always schooled Illinois.
Yes.
At Ohio State, at least you had a run.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan has always been the team that has schooled Illinois every year. It doesn't matter. They even get the fumble breaks by Bill Lamoni, who won't come on our show. But Michigan has dominated Illinois, always. And it's almost like this team last year in the first half was like, well, we're supposed to lose to Michigan. And then at half, they're like, you know what? They're not that good. And then Illinois came out in the second half and played toe-to-toe with Michigan.
Right.
And then it started that four-game winning streak, even though they didn't beat Michigan. I would have loved to have had that Michigan game be the Michigan State game. I would have loved to have put that Michigan game three games back after you'd won two in a row, after you upset Wisconsin, after you beat Rutgers, and then go into that game against Michigan, because I think you could beat Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like, and I know every 4 years there's new kids and they don't buy into that. They don't. None of those kids even know what the record is against Michigan, probably. I shouldn't say that. I'm not saying they're not smart, but I doubt they care.
It's just something they don't pay attention to. They have so many things to focus on, like who's my guy this week that I have to defend against and all that stuff.
And that's great that they do that, because we as fans, you know, Cartboys just call it fan pressure. We put their own pressure on it. But you just sit there and you think to yourself, like, Illinois, the first half was terrible against Michigan, and then all of a sudden they kind of turned it around in the second half, and then they went on a four-game winning streak. But yet, I do not. There's no way Illinois can beat Ohio State next year. I hope they do, and I hope it's a game, but I just get the feeling that Ohio State has passed up everybody by leaps and bounds now in the Big Ten, to where it's like, who's going to win the Big Ten next year? Ohio State. Who's going to win it in 5 years? Ohio State.
And Ryan Day is the perfect replacement for Urban Meyer. And because, I mean, you look at what Florida has done. They've stumbled once Urban Meyer left. Ohio State's not stumbling with Ryan Day as their head coach, and that's the scary part about this is that Ohio State's just not going to go away for a very long time.
And, of course, they got a nice break by getting Fields being able to play this year.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, NCAA. Way to make that happen for Ohio State. I predicted Ohio State to win. I'm not a guy that sits there and worries that the Big Ten wins bowl games. I don't care. I think Indiana plays today or tonight, and if they win, then
they go
5-4.
Yeah, Gator Bowl against Tennessee.
Then I think the Big Ten goes 5-4. Yes. I don't care about any of that. I do not root for Big Ten teams. Of course, Illinois. But it's just one of those situations where you sit there and you look at it, and I don't know, it's frustrating because Ohio State just is so far ahead.
I can care about that a little bit because I want the recruiting to look at the Big Ten like, oh, we're playing in the Big Ten. This is a really good conference.
So true.
Look at what they've done in bowl games. Like, they won't focus on the record per se, but if they see a lot of happenstance that these Big Ten teams beat SEC, Big 12, and Pac-12 teams, then they might be like, ooh, Big Ten, that's an extra allure to a recruit.
Well, and I would micro that to say the recruits Illinois gets, and I know they've gotten some good recruits. I would say the recruits Illinois gets, we're not going against the SEC.
Missouri.
I am almost more worried about, if Indiana goes out and wins tonight, then that guy that's between Indiana and Illinois, who we've consistently recruited against, let's say, that kind of team, is going to say, well, Indiana's got it rolling.
Yeah,
instead of Illinois, whereas I don't necessarily worry about LSU or Ohio State winning at a high level because I don't think we're going to get Ohio State guys.
Right.
Guys that are, they're either, who was the kid out of St. Louis?
Mookie Cooper.
Yeah, he's like, does Ohio State want me? Oh, I like Illinois, but guess what? I'm going to one of the best teams in the country. And it's frustrating, but I don't know where that rant came from, but there it is. All right, when we come back, we're going to break down Illinois and Michigan State. I talked too long. Mettler Center, actually, we've got to do Mettler Center mix-up.
That's right.
When we come back, we will get to Illinois and Michigan State, I promise. We're going to visit with Derek Piper at 5:05. Alex Rue, Big Ten Network, going to join us at 5:30 next hour. Excited to talk to him. So a lot to do getting you ready for the 7 o'clock tip tonight, Illinois and Michigan State. It is The Drive.
What do you want people to know about what you do? Ken Sprague, Urbana Police Officer, is our Law Enforcement Official of the Month.
What we do is, we provide a service-based community program. That's what police do, at least here in the city of Urbana. Other departments may do things different, not wrong, not right, just different. But here in Urbana, I think the number one thing we do is we service the community. In addition to that, we try to ask for voluntary compliance, and that's what we're out here to do. Sometimes voluntary compliance is not what happens.
Meaning just follow my instructions, and we'll sort out your complaints later.
Absolutely.
And you're wearing a body camera now,
absolutely,
right? I think it's for your protection more than anything.
Yeah.
Because you can say, here's how I acted.
And we love
attitude and elevate your living experience today.
I love the rooftop terrace, and my car is protected from the elements in the covered parking.
Uniquely modern for today's professionals, students, and grad students.
With the 24/7 fitness center.
So many amenities and sophisticated style.
Centrally located near the heart of campus.
Latitude Apartments, 608 East University. Mention you heard it on the radio and waive your application fees. Call 355-1535 or visit livelatitude.com.
Hey, it's Stevie J. Like many, I knew all about Game Day Spirits Illini gear, but I wasn't so knowledgeable about the corporate apparel they do. But they do really great work. I've had some shirts done, and some of my employees have too. They're very high quality and perfect for your business or organization. If you need something in the summer, need something in the winter, Game Day Spirit does custom screen printing and embroidery for every season or style. From blue collar to the boardroom, they have you covered with corporate apparel. Get a quote. Email sales@gamedayspirit.com and you'll be pleased.
PDR is a AAA Chicago Motor Club approved facility right here in Central Illinois. They have an esteemed community reputation, a great facility appearance, and amazing customer service. Plus, the staff is trained and qualified, has the most up-to-date equipment working on your vehicle, a wide scope of services, and warranty coverage. Stop into the AAA Chicago Motor Club approved facility, PDR Automotive on North Cunningham in Urbana, or call them at 367-9841.
At every
Everyday Kitchen Restaurant and Bar, we believe that food makes you feel good. Inspire your palate with new favorites like the Philly cheesesteak flatbread or stuffed acorn squash. Our expert mixologists have crafted cocktails ideal for sweater weather, including the chai apple martini or hot buttered rum. Join us for lunch, dinner, or weekend brunch for the Spitfire Ham and Eggs Benedict and award-winning Bloody Mary. No matter what time of day, we bring honest goodness and fresh inspiration to every plate and glass at Everyday Kitchen. Book your table at everydaykitchen.com.
There are good ideas and there are better ideas. Renting a truck, asking your friends to help you move, and buying a bunch of pizzas to feed them after they're all worn out might be a good idea, but a better idea is to hire Two Men in a Truck and let them take the stress out of your move. Two Men in a Truck will only send professional movers and no day labor. There's better ways to spend time with your friends. Contact the movers who care and save your friendships. TwoMenChampagne.com. That's a smart move.
If you want a great steak, why don't you go up to Gifford? There's a restaurant there that's been there a long time called the Long Branch Steakhouse. I want you to go in there and find Donnie. He'll be cooking and preparing all your food. And then may I suggest the beautiful prime rib. Now, Donnie cuts it right off the side of beef when you order it. This is awesome, awesome meat, and you're going to love a steak from the Long Branch Steakhouse. Go say hey to Donnie. Tell him I sent you, Stevie J, and get up there as soon as you can. You're going to love it. Long Branch Steakhouse, Gifford, Illinois. Hey, it's Stevie J. I've been using the corporate apparel from Game Day. They've been making these Stevie J Broadcasting button-downs, and I love them. And I just got two new in today, and the staff's excited because I don't have to wear the same shirt. So very excited for the repertoire change and all these fabulous corporate apparel shirts from Game Day. If you want a quote, I would suggest you email them, sales@gamedayspirit.com, sales@gamedayspirit.com. It's high quality. It's great stuff. You'll love it. Corporate apparel from Game Day Spirit.
Hi, folks. What's on your agenda for Friday, February 7th, 2020? We would love to have you join us as a box dweller for our One Winter Night community awareness event. To sign up for One Winter Night, please visit www.cuathome.us and get a new perspective on what it would be like to be homeless in Champaign. So get your church, business, friends, or small group together and email me, rob@cuathome.us, to join the team today. Our goal this year is challenging, but we feel with your support, we can reach our $350,000 goal.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, Austin Berkland filling in for Derek Piper. Piper is going to join us at 5:30. No, I'm sorry. I'm all over the place today with times. At 5:05, Derek Piper's going to join us from Breslin Center in East Lansing. So we'll ask Derek about Illinois and Michigan State. Right after that talk, you and I will visit a little bit, do a little over-under Illinois and Michigan State tonight. We'll also visit with Alex Rue from the Big Ten Network. Talk to him next hour. And then Hans thinks he's going to do a little dealy himself. But if Hans thinks he's going on the air this year... I mean, Hans, I gave you 1 year to become famous. Now you're asking me to do 2 years?
You know, I haven't been on the radio for a year.
That is true. Good. That's a good call.
Hey, yeah. Welcome to 2020 on the airwaves, Hans.
Hey, thank you.
I'm glad you're back, pleasure. Hans. I'm glad you're back.
Oh, thank you.
Where'd you go for...
Indianapolis.
Was that for New Year's? Or
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Just watched the ball drop in That's my hotel cool. room.
How was Indy?
It was cool.
I never think to go to Indianapolis. It's an hour and a half away. City. Oh.
The mall there is pretty nice.
Well, okay. If I go to Indy, I'm not going to the mall.
I love their casino in Shelbyville.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the Grand.
The Grand. Okay, yeah. I'll have to try that. All right, Hans. So you're thinking about a little, maybe a serving it up.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. Don't forget your Illinois-Michigan State prediction.
Okay.
At the end of I know where that'll go. All right, it's time for the Mettler Mix-Up. Matthew Gordon is with us. How are you, Matthew?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good, buddy. I said Austin laughed earlier this in the first hour. Well, it is the first hour. I laughed. I said, well, I want to ask Matthew about this bone bruise with Cassius Winston and how Illinois can hit it and make it hurt even more. I know that's terrible, isn't it? But didn't you do that a little bit in high school? If you knew an opponent was hurt, you'd kind of just, you know, if they had a little bit of a rib problem, you'd kind of jab that rib a little bit. I mean, maybe that was just us.
I think that's a competitive advantage, right? is knowing your opponent's weaknesses. I mean, we do it in scouting.
Yeah.
You know, so people like to know each other's plays. You know, the Patriots obviously take that to another level.
Oh, boy. Do they?
But, you know, This might be crossing a line. It's a gray area.
That's gray. That's what I said. It's gray. Gray area. I didn't know you had a bone bruise right there, Cassius, even though in the world everybody knew. All right, so what is a bone bruise? I mean, you know, obviously it sounds obvious, but what is that? How tough is that? He took last game off to basically as a precaution to get ready. So do you think this is something he could be fully healed tonight, or could it give him a little trouble?
Well, so when I think of, like, anytime you hear bruise, we all jump to the bruises that we can see in our skin.
Right.
So, and those bruises are basically the result of capillaries leaking blood, and then that is what we see, is we see that blood then in the tissue. With a bone bruise, what happened is the injury was to the outer layer of the actual bone itself. So that outer layer kind of gets dented, almost like if you took a hammer and hit a piece of wood, and then there's that little indent where the head of the hammer hit. So, yeah, this is a little bit more intense than your regular bruise. Most likely it probably happened from him either landing on a knee, landing on a leg that wasn't bent, and so he just kind of got jolted. But some kind of like abnormal force that resulted in there being a bigger force into that joint, that portion of the knee. Sometimes they can even happen to your kneecap if you kind of slam on that, you know, if you dive and you land wrong or you just land on a knee. The nice thing about this is because it's just that injury to the outer surface of the bone, there's really not a lot of compromise to the actual bone itself. So they should be able to be played on fairly quick. It's more of like a pain thing. But it doesn't sound like anything was injured to the extent that he really needs to sit out for a prolonged period of time. Doesn't sound like he had a lot of inflammation, which can sometimes inhibit his muscle. So it sounds like he should be hopefully, you know, good to go, but maybe hopefully not good enough to negatively affect us as the Illini.
Boom. I liked how you said that. That's perfect. Well, I know I saw that today, and it's at least something to kind of watch tonight to see as that goes along with Cassius Winston and Michigan State. But the way Illinois has played Cassius, maybe we want him to play. The last couple of games has been crazy. Well, Matthew, did you have a good New Year's?
I did. Very chill, just, you know, time with friends. It was a little bit better than his sounded. I wasn't just in, like, a hotel room. I mean,
it's Hans. It's,
yeah. Yeah. That, you know, but, yeah, you know, just hanging out with friends, good food, just hanging out. So, yeah, it's what you would want.
He's practicing his future because he's going to be a pilot. He spends a lot of time in hotel rooms, I assume.
Gotcha. All right.
I mean, I don't mean that bad. I just mean, you know, you're traveling all the time. So that's what he's doing. He's practicing how that's going to work out in the future is what he's doing. All right, Matthew Gordon, you guys, it's a new year at the Mettler Center, but everything is still the same. And that means good because you guys offer everything at the Mettler Center. Give him a shot. Give him a call. Free 30-minute consultation. And they will tell you exactly what you need to do with an injury. They're awesome at it. Matthew, happy New Year, my friend.
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay, buddy. Matthew Gordon, Mettler Mix-Up, the Mettler Center. Check them out. Give them a call. You can call them at 398-9800. They've got free weights. They've got a bunch of different stuff, and I know they've mixed it around a little bit, but go in and take a tour. Just go in and ask, say, hey, we want to take a little bit of a tour and walk around because they just have so many things that they can do for you. All right. Austin, next hour, we're going to visit with Derek Piper when we come back. We'll do a little Illinois-Michigan State over-under, and we'll talk to Alex Rue.
That sounds like a perfect second hour.
That is a busy hour. I love it. All right, we'll do it next. No, wait, we got to keep talking because I missed the break. So now we got to keep talking. How about Michigan State 35-3 at the Breslin Center since the start of the 17-18 season?
Tom Izzo just gets the job done at home. Like
he does.
You just got to be focused in the entire time or the Izzone will take advantage.
He's good, man. All right, we're back. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.